So this is my first slide. This means nothing to any of you, apart from me and my mate Betty. I don't think you were there. This is actually in Conwy, Wales, North Wales. Yeah. The year, well, this isn't from them, but the year being 1976, 4th of August, which was a Wednesday.
What's it? I don't remember.
There was, yeah. Sorry, hang on, Betty.
1976.
Yeah. 1976, and the day is significant because that's when I became a Christian. So
48 years.
So I've been struggling for 48 years. But we were there. So that reservoir there, which it was, wasn't it?
We were up there somewhere.
In my memory, hang on. Technology. So this is a reservoir, yeah. And from memory, we were in tents here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed on that. We were in tents.
So I think it was organised by Jeff Vaughan.
Yeah.
So Janet and Gordon probably had to give the permission for it to go ahead. Bible week.
Yeah.
Did you? Were you there?
I wasn't.
No. Sue Dean was there. Does she?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. So that's where we went and spent the week, Betty, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we did.
And the static caravan shop here, or site, that's where the shop was, wasn't it? That's where we would have got the sweets.
That's where you
I remember the sweet.
You had to have money, though, to go and get things from there.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? I didn't.
And the sweets. Well, a bag of crisps was probably £2.50 back then, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the sort of prices.
Yeah, right, anyway. I best get on with the serious stuff now. Thank you, Beth. It was amazing, though. And when I became a Christian, I think I spent the rest of the day crying because I felt accepted. Something on my throat. What? I felt accepted. Felt loved. The James family were there, weren't they? Fiona,
yeah.
Paula, Andrew. Mike and Pauline, I'll call them, but everyone else calls her Pal, don't they, or something. But yeah, anyway, yeah.
Cool.
Okay, thank you. I did give you a warning I was going to involve you in my preach, didn't I?
Didn't have to remember too much.
No. But you were there when I became a Christian.
You might need to talk a bit slower and a bit louder.
Yeah.
Slower, louder. Is that right? Louder. Not lower, louder. Yeah, okay. A what?
I hold his hand.
I didn't wear my hearing aids today either, so I couldn't hear you heckling me. So that's not working, Anne, is it? Because you're actually stopping me from talking, then heckling me.
Twice.
I could lend you mine.
You're right. Thank you. Okay. So that's me, yeah? So I've been a Christian for 48 years, yeah? Up and down, in and out, yeah? I call it a yo-yo, it's a yo-yo Christian is what I refer to myself being. Because I used to dip in and out, and normally when I was embarrassed or ashamed of something, I would like disappear for a few, I wasn't saying months, but it was probably years, but there you go. So just so you understand, disclaimer, going to start doing them again. So I am on a journey. I'm not there yet. I'm human. This means I'm not perfect. Okay?
Good.
So I volunteered to do Ephesians 5 because when I became a Christian and I was in the tent, I asked God for a scripture, and what he gave me was Ephesians 5, 8. Yeah, which has stuck with me, so that's why I wanted to do this, and that will become apparent when I start talking in a minute. What I then realised, I said, I want to do Ephesians 5, because we've been doing Ephesians, and I think we were up to 5 anyway. Yeah. So I said, I want to do Ephesians 5. And then I started reading it. And then I realised that normally it's the scriptures, you can pick them apart. You can. There's no Greek words for me this week. I can't baffle you with any Greek words. Because when I read it and went through it, I was like, I read it again. And I thought, there's nothing here to pick apart. Yeah, because Ephesians 5, my understanding is, it's just a list of instructions for us to follow. Yeah? Sorry? We will. Yeah, oh, definitely. Because I love doing presentations as well. So this, we've only started. This is slide 2. We've got a break halfway through. We used to call it an intermission. Yeah. Oh, ice creams, I forgot the ice cream. Right, anyway, so, serious. Oh, no, sorry, I can't do serious. So, Ephesians 5, 1 to 20. I couldn't do the rest of it because it's too big, yeah, in my opinion. So, the author is Paul, and it's a letter. I thought I'd sorted this out this morning, Mr. Butcher, as well. I thought I'd got it all sorted, but I didn't, did I? Because my PowerPoint doesn't configure with the church one. So anyway, so the purpose of Ephesians is to show how God's love should bring unity among those who follow him. That's what I, yeah. So book summary, so a summary of Ephesians, yeah, would be Ephesians follows a theme common in Paul's writings, connecting theory with practice. In his book, however, he goes into greater depth before making the transition. As a letter meant to be read by more than just the believers at Ephesus? Yeah? Did I get that right?
Yes.
Woo! This is an important look at how Christian belief should translate into Christian action.
Beautiful.
The first three chapters lay out the spiritual ideas. The last three chapters show how these truths should be applied in the life of a mature believer. Paul focuses heavily on the love, the unity of the Christian church, and the incredible value of our salvation through Christ. So, from Ephesians 5, I've established or looked at. Do I point it at that or the laptop?
Laptop.
Right, so three subject headings, yeah, which I've kind of elaborated on. So it's living in God's love, and I've actually put down the description of love, just so we all understand, yeah. Love, an intense feeling of deep affection. And that's what I felt on that Welsh hillside, yeah. I felt accepted, I felt loved. Living in God's light. Choosing God's light is a leap of faith. It's about trusting that his ways are better than ours. And then living in God's wisdom. Wisdom, the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The quality of being wise. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, we're going to go through reading 1 to 20, yeah? And as I said, I see it as being a list of instructions to follow, yeah? So as we go through, if anybody's got any problems, anything doesn't make sense, stick your hand up and we'll go back over it, yeah? Because I think it's key that we all understand it, yeah? No matter where you are on your walk, yeah? Whether you're a new Christian or you've been doing it for 48 years, yeah? Okay. Oh, I did sort it out. No, because they're on different slides, so I've got them all here, it's fine. So, glasses. So, one, first one, this is key, be imitators of God in everything you do. I think we've already mentioned that this morning. For then you will represent your father as his beloved sons and daughters, and continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ, for he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God, like an aroma of adoration, a sweet healing fragrance. Three. And now, and have nothing to do with sexual immorality, lust or greed, for you are his holy ones, and let no one be able to accuse you of them in any form. Guard your speech. Forsake obscenities and worthless insults. These are nonsensical words that bring disgrace and are unnecessary. Instead, let worship fill your heart and spill out of your words. For it has been made clear to you already that the kingdom of God cannot be accessed by anyone who is guilty of sexual sin or who is impure or greedy. For greed is the essence of idolatry. How could they expect to have an inheritance in Christ's kingdom while doing those things?
Mark, what does idolatry mean?
Idolatry, my understanding, my layman's terms, that's where you worship something other than God. So you put something, so it could be carp fishing for some people.
Anything.
It could be anything you put between you and God, which stops your relationship, so it breaks down that communication between you and God. We all agree?
Yeah.
Say yes.
Good.
I have the power.
Oh dear.
What do you mean it's the last time? Oh dear. Right, moving on. So this is living in God's light. Yeah? Hence the picture. Don't be fooled by those who speak their empty words and deceptive teachings telling you otherwise. This is what brings God's anger upon the rebellious. Don't listen to them or live like them at all. This is the scripture that God gave me when I first became a Christian. Yeah, so I was 10 years old and I said, God, give me a scripture. And it was this. And I was like, okay. Once your life was full of sin and darkness, but now you have the very light of our Lord shining through you because of your union with him. Your mission, is to live as children flooded with his revelatory light. And the supernatural fruits of the light will be seen in you: goodness, righteousness, and truth. I was going to say at 10 I got blown away, but I probably didn't really. No, I was just like, okay, nice. But it stuck with me throughout my life. And that's, like I said, I'm on a journey. I'm trying to adhere to it, follow it. Good days, bad days. I think we're all there. But that's my ultimate aim, goal in life. Yeah? Then you will learn to choose what is beautiful to our Lord, and don't
even associate with the
servants of darkness, because they have no fruit in them. Instead, reveal truth to them. Okay? The very things they do in secret are too vile and filthy to mention. Whatever the revelation light exposes, it will also correct, and everything that reveals truth is light to the soul. This is why the scripture says, "Arise, you sleeper, rise up from your coffin, and the anointed one will shine his light into you." It's good. It's So now we're moving on to living in God's wisdom. So be very careful how you live, not being like those with no understanding, but live honourably with true wisdom, for we are living in evil times. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purpose. And don't live foolishly, for then you will have discernment to fully understand God's will. And don't eat. Don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. And your hearts will overflow with a joyful song to the Lord. Keep speaking to each other with words of scripture, singing the psalms with praises and spontaneous songs by the Spirit. Always give thanks to the Father God for every person he brings into your life, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've witnessed that today, haven't we? And your hearts will overflow with joyful song or laughing. Yeah? Keep speaking to each other. So we've had a few people stand up and share their hearts. Yeah? So this is good, because we're actually, I think we've got this bit nailed, or we're partway there, yeah? It's probably the other bits we need to work on. Well, speaking from me, not for everyone in the room. But do you see what I mean about it being a list of instructions or a list of things to follow? Yeah? Okay. I think it's the TPT. TPT, which is the Passion. Yeah. Passion. Yeah, no, I should have put that on there. I'm one of those that will read it in like three or four different versions. And then I always describe myself as being simple, because I am. I will pick the one that speaks to me the most, and that's the one I will use. Obviously today it was the Passion. Yesterday we were in a meeting and I used the Message, because that one rated a lot better than this. But so that's the list as I see it. Anybody disagree with it? Let's open it up, shall we? No? No, I think you can't argue with it. We're just putting it into practice, yeah? Like I said, whether you're young, old, starting your journey, been on the journey for a long time. There was a bit in there I said about where Paul transitioned, and just Paul was, oh, he must have been, it was amazing, because he's, it says down here is all the different books he wrote and everything, and the order we put them in. But just after he wrote this book, he went to Corinth for 3 months and was travelling around.
Mark, can you get back last slide four?
That one?
Yeah.
What do you want to pick out, Chris?
I just think it's interesting where it says about but live honourable with the truth, wisdom, for the lives living in evil times. I love the fact how Jesus managed to do that. That he lived in times that were evil and not good. But he came to bring fulfilment and love and truth. And it's how we respond to evil times, isn't it, as Christians, where you can, as Christians, you can hear other Christians be really judgmental in the world, but Jesus came to save the lost. It's acknowledging that it is evil times, but acknowledging the fact that Jesus came to save all those who are doing evil things unknowingly. And it's having that wisdom, like it says. So, because it's one of those things where you can think as Christians you hate people who do evil things. Where actually God loves everybody, and we have got to learn to love that way, but it doesn't excuse what they do. It's still evil. But it's having that taunt. Would you agree with that, Mark?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. Because I think that's. I was quite frustrated that I couldn't pull it apart, this Ephesians 5, and say, you know, this means that and this means this, because it's all laid out there for us. It's just read it, understand it, and put it into practice, really. That's it. I was kind of gutted, because then I couldn't stand up here and say, anybody want to repent and, you know, come up front and all that. It's not a case of that today, is it? So, but if you do, feel free.
No.
Go on, Anne.
I think sometimes when we read this, it really helps us to hear somebody's story where they have done that. So, you know, one of these things where they've begun to travel the journey of, what's this one? Taking full advantage of every day,
yeah,
as you spend your life for this purpose. Like, actually, who in this room has taken advantage of every day instead of saying, I'm switching off today, I don't care today. I've just walked past that person and I'm just not going to give them any time to share God's love, because actually I want to go and do something else. And I've missed the opportunity. And I just wonder if there's stories in the room from any of this where we have begun to do this journey.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, one sec.
I've just witnessed a really, for me, mind-blowing thing, which God spoke straight into it. You looked at your grandson and he stood up and you blew him kisses and he waved back at you. Amazing moment. But God said to me, but that's what I'm like.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what I'm doing,
yeah,
or where I'm at. If you look at me, if you turn to me, I'm going to come back and turn to you and give you kisses. Mm. And I just felt like that's for all of us in this room, that he has time for us. You know, all we need to do is look at him.
Amen. Sonia, it's for you. Tony's just said that if we were to follow this religiously, it would then become an act and not something we're doing out of love.
Yeah?
Because if you do it out of love for God, then it will become natural. I think that's what you were trying to say, wasn't it, Tony? Yeah. So don't listen and think, right, I've got to do this, because then it becomes a religious habit, and then it's not, you're not doing it out of love, you're doing it because someone stood up the front and said, do this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it doesn't work. Yeah. Okay.
So can I add about what you said, Anne, about doing things daily? Believe it or not, as a kid, I was actually quite shy. Youngest of five, quite shy, quite timid, because my brothers were just louder than me. They're always good at sport, and they always told me how not up to their mark I was. And it's only through having a relationship with Jesus making me bold. But I learned to practice my faith, and practicing your faith means be prepared to do it. So when you're practicing your faith, I used to find people really intimidating. So people who would beg on the street, I'd find really hard. So as a child, if my dad said, go give them some money, I'd feel really awkward to take the money from my dad and put it into their hat, because I just found it really hard. And then I worked for the homeless, and then I found I could do that very naturally, go and talk to them. But then it became a job. And I realise now, move with compassion, there's times where I'll stop and give them money, or stop and chat and speak to them. And now it's no longer my fearful, or no, it's no longer a job, but now it's out of a relationship of walking down the street being convicted by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I stop, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I have peace to walk on past, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will convict me to go and speak to them, or even to give them money. And so that's my journey of that.
Thank you. I was just about to grab the mic then. Right, so I think I've got one more slide left. There it is. So if you remember one thing about the book of Ephesians, it is all Christians are part of the same body. We should all remain united in love. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for all those that took part. That's good. Coffee and all that breakfast stuff?
Or? Yeah. Can we pray? Is that right? We just pray for the... I totally believe that we are a body learning on this journey. So, Father, I thank you for every member of your family here.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, whether we think that we have it all together, whether we think we're just a baby Christian or we've been a Christian for 48 years, Lord, that we're all on a journey of having a relationship with you. I pray, Lord God, all our hearts will be... you'll be able to speak to our hearts by you, Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would move us, Lord, not out of works, because it's just the right thing to do, but out of love and kindness and truth and compassion. Father, Lord, you said to us not to come and make Christians. You asked us to make disciples.
Yeah.
And I pray, Lord God, that we'll learn to take responsibility with our relationship. Father, I'm reading through it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.